Hello, everybody. Happy Super Bowl day. Yeah. How many of y'all root for the Seahawks? Yeah. Denver Broncos? Yeah. Don't care at all. Get alive. We are only going to have service tonight at 8 o'clock. There's no service at night at the other campuses, just here at Point Loma. And the reason being, because every year no one comes. So we're going to have it. We'll wait for the game to be over. Then we'll have a service at 8 o'clock tonight. One-time shot just here in Point Loma. I want to ask all y'all to get out your phone. Take out your phone, your telephone. Your telly. And once you get your phone out, once you lift it up, let me see your phones, how many people got phones. Lift it up. Okay, very good. Okay, who has Android? Just let me see all the Androids. Okay, hey, today's your day, baby. Okay, so I want to ask everybody to go to, if you do not have the app, whether you have Android or iPhone, go to milesaminute.com. Hopefully you can get Wi-Fi in here, milesaminute.com. And I want you to download the app for your Android. If you have an iPhone and you don't have the app, you could download the iPhone version as well. And then we're going to do something together. iPhone and Android. First time they're going to come together. And one of the reasons that Android is, the Android apps are made second, I'm not a technology guy, so I don't make that decision. This is what I was told. But Android is very complicated. It's like six different versions. I don't know if y'all knew that, but y'all are complicated. All the campuses, download the Android version, milesaminute.com. Are you guys getting Wi-Fi? Is it working out? Say yes if you're getting it. Say no if you're not getting it. Yeah, you got AT&T, that's why. That's your problem. I can't help you there. Let me put my hand on the pulpit and the floor. Maybe I can get some frequency in here. Okay, so if you can't get it when you leave, you can download it today. But here's what I want you to do today. Have you guys downloaded it that you can get Wi-Fi? Did you get it? I want you to get it, and I want you to open up the video from today, the Miles Minute from today, which is what you just saw. It should have Russell Wilson's picture and I right there on the screen. And it should say share. If you have Android, it'll actually say the word share. And for iPhone, there'll be a little arrow in a box in the top right-hand corner. And I want all you to share that video right now. Just hit share. Tell me amen if you did it. It's not a lot of people. Let's try that one more time. Say amen if you did it. It's not a lot of people. Let me say this, I'll just keep encouraging you. We've had about 500,000 views of the videos since December 13th. We've had, for the iPhone people, because not all those views are on iPhone, we've had about 310,000 on iPhone and 8,000 shares. So ideally, you want to have 300,000 views and 300,000 shares. So I want every time, if I can encourage you one thing with this, every time you watch a video, even if you watch it more than once, share it. People out there are going to get blessed that don't get blessed. That the reason we made it was for you, to give you a tool to be blessed and to share to people, especially people who don't go to church. So I can't stress that enough. Amen? Okay, how many shared it so far? Say amen. That's a little better. Okay, I want to encourage you when you go out the building, download it and share it. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Thank you for being patient with us, East County, North County. Hopefully you shared it. You don't have Wi-Fi issues there. Everyone say share. Please. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for being our strong tower in our times of need. I pray you encourage people who are carrying a big burden today. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Word. One more time. Say word. Word. Look to the person next to you and say, do you have your Bible? If they say no, say why not. Oh, a whole lot of why nots. That's not good. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And if you are here for the first time in any of the campuses, say amen. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Let me encourage all of you to invite your friends. Please do not be ashamed of your church. If you are ashamed of your church, you are at the wrong church. If you are ashamed of your church, you are at the wrong church. You should be a place where you're proud to bring your friends and let God deal with how they perceive everything. Okay? 1 Samuel 17. Whenever you read a story in the Bible, it's very important for you to look for a few things. Number one, you want to look for somebody or a group of people that represent God's friend. Everyone say God's friend. Then you need to look for someone who represents God's enemy. Say God's enemy. God's friend is that group of people or person that is promoting God's agenda. God's enemy are those who are against God's agenda. And in every story, God's friend and God's enemy will have conflict. And that conflict is the plot of the story. And in every story, God's friend and God's enemy will have conflict. That conflict is going to be too big for God's friend to handle. And God will come in and be the hero. Say hero.
Hero.
In every God story, God has to be the hero. We are never the hero. If we are the hero, then we don't need God. God has to be the hero. Say God has to be the hero. So every story you want to see, God's friend, God's enemy, what's the plot? In other words, what's the conflict? And how does God save the day? Realizing that all these stories are real stories. Then you have to realize that you and I are in story all the time. In other words, we are living out multiple narratives since the moment we're conceived. We have a relationship with our parents, with our friends, with our coworkers, our boss. Everybody in our life we have a relationship with, and that relationship is a story. And so we have to decide, are we God's friend or are we God's enemy? Are we living to promote God's agenda or are we living to oppose God's agenda? Most of us, I shouldn't say most of us, all of us are schizophrenic at times because we're God's friend and God's enemy. Can I get amen? You're like, I love God, I don't love God. Now, you may not say those words, but you're saying, I want to obey God, I want to do my way. Conflict. We go back and forth. You can go back and forth in a relationship. You can go back and forth in a conversation. Oh, praise God. Oh, guess what I heard? You know, you're praising God one minute, then you're gossiping the next minute. And so you have to decide, I want to be God's friend. I would assume if you're in church that you want to be God's friend. So when you read a story in the Bible, you want to identify God's friend, and then you want to make a commitment that you want to learn from them what they did right. And you want to learn how God fought on their behalf, and then say, I want to live like them, and I want God to support me like he did God's friend. So when you see God's friend in the story in the Bible get saved by the Lord and you see him struggle through the situation that he's dealing with, you can say, I want to be like that guy or that girl or those group of people. So when you read the story, you get motivated. Say, I can overcome it. I can overcome like he overcame or she overcame. Now, the same is true every time you watch a movie. There's a good guy and a bad guy. And when you watch a movie, very soon, early, you may not be thinking this, but you feel it. I want to know really quick what's going on. So in the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie, they're going to show you the good guy, and they're going to show you the bad guy, and they're going to create this drama, this conflict between the two, and that's what's going to make you watch the movie. Same thing. So when you read a story in the Bible, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, what's the conflict, how does God save the day, and how am I being challenged to be a better God's friend from this God's friend in the story? So in this particular story we're going to read today, it's about a little boy named David. Everyone say David. And a giant named Goliath. Say Goliath. Y'all know the story. A little kid has to fight a big giant that her whole army wouldn't fight. So here's the story. There's an army of Israel is on a hill. There's a hill, a valley, and then another hill where the Philistines are, the army of the Philistines. And every day for 40 days, a giant of the Philistines came down to the valley, and he talked trash to the army of the Israelites for 40 days straight and said, if you could send one guy down to whoop me and win, we will bow down to you. We don't have to have a war. Just one-on-one. It's pretty economical. Saves a lot of money, time, a lot of headache. So every day, Giant would come down, and he would talk trash to the Israelites, saying, who you got? Who you got? And they were like, oh, we ain't going down there. That dude is big. He got bad breath. He's tall. The ground shakes. And they just wouldn't deal with him, right? So every day for 40 days, he came down. Now, 40 is the number of testing. He should have known at day 40 he was going to get whooped. Okay? So he comes down. Who's going to whoop me? Who's going to whoop me? And the Jews see him, and they run. They run. And the king said, look, if anybody goes and whoop him, I'll give you my daughter as your wife. That might have been the issue. I don't know. Just saying. Give you my daughter. Yeah, you don't have to pay taxes. For real. No federal, no state, no sales tax. You're tax free. But nobody would go down. This is true. I'm not telling you a lie. And so for 40 days, and then David's going to come to the army. He's a little kid. He's going to leave his sheep. He's going to come to bring bread and cheese to his brothers, and he's going to hear Goliath, and he's going to get into the mix. So let's read. Y'all got it? Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Very good. Chapter 17, verse 20. Oh, by the way, you're going to learn 6 components to being a giant killer. How many of y'all want to be a giant killer? All of y'all will have, and some of you have now, but you will have throughout your life, giant problems that you cannot fix. It is very important, it's muy importante, that you are going to have problems that you cannot handle on your own, and you are not supposed to even try to handle on your own. You're supposed to surrender it to God. This story, amongst many things, is teaching us that God has to be the hero. Matter of fact, all the stories in the Bible teach that. He has to be the hero. If you are saying you are going to fix it, you are telling God, I don't need you. It doesn't mean you do nothing, but it means that God, you are going to lead the way. So that's what a giant killer is. Not I am somebody, he is somebody. That's the key. God has to be the hero. Amen? Number one, giant killers have to walk by faith. It's written in your notes. You got it there. Giant killers have to walk by faith. Say, walk by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means, when it says seen, it means perceived by your senses. See it, hear it, smelted it, tasted it. Perceived it, thinked it, reasoned it, understood it, just kind of, I get it, okay? All that's cool, but faith goes beyond that. All that's in the natural. Even your sixth sense, your ESPN, that goes beyond the natural, okay? You have to get all that information. You have to say, God, here's what my senses have perceived and gathered. What do I do with this? Faith says, God, there's something I don't know that you know, so I trust you. Okay? Sometimes God will say, go with that. Sometimes God will say, ignore all of that because what you don't know is blah. Okay? Let's read. Look what it says, verse 23. It says, verse 22, David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistine, and he spoke according to the same words. Every day he was saying the same thing. And David heard them. Everyone say heard. All the men of Israel, when they saw, say saw. Those are their senses. They're hearing it, they're seeing it, they're smelling it, they're feeling the ground shake. They fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Say afraid. There's an emotion. And it says, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be the man who kills him. The king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes. You thought I was making the tax thing up, didn't you? For real, how many of y'all raised your hand? How many of y'all thought I was making that up? Yeah. See, y'all don't believe me. Y'all have, just think I'm up here messing around. I read the Bible. Verse 26. David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who killed the Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David said, Y'all may be afraid. I ain't afraid. I'm not afraid. I see the same thing you see. I hear the same thing you see. I smell the same thing you smell. I don't have fear. I have faith. So when you look at your giant, whatever your Goliath is, are you looking at it with your eyes and your ears only and saying, it's too much money or too much problem. I don't know how am I going to find a woman? How am I going to find a girl? How am I going to be happy? All this stuff. God says, no, you're looking at it wrong. There's something bigger than there's an opportunity. When we first were going to buy this building in Point Loma, it was a military school that had been for 40, 50 years, and it had no windows. It had concrete all around it, concrete. There were no windows. It was just concrete outside shell. And the people we bought it from, we couldn't tell people where it was for a long time before, maybe over a year or two. It was a long time. We couldn't tell the church where it was. We just had to say, we have an opportunity. And because we were negotiating, we didn't know if it was going to happen. We wanted to make sure it was going to happen. And then we finally said, here it is, and we had meetings here, and et cetera. But what happened was the guy said, you don't want to tell the people to go buy yet, because most people don't have an imagination. They'll come and they go, that's ugly. And I was like, really? Because it was ugly. But we were going to go. We were going to take what we did. We made it beautiful. But he said, you can't, unless you show people the beauty, they're not going to see it. They're just going to see an ugly building. So you want to be careful who you show it to. And so what you want to do is when you have a problem, your fear is looking at it. Your small God that you have, because all of us dumb God down, is looking at it. Your faith has to see it. A giant killer has to walk by faith. Look what says in verse 31. A giant killer also knows when to grow up. Say grow up. Woo! Some of y'all got to grow up today. Look what it says in verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Saul is the king. The king does not have one man in his whole army that would fight Goliath. He hears rumor that there's a kid, a teenager, walking around, talking, I can whoop him, talking trash. He says, bring that kid to me. David said to Saul, the little boy said to the king, let no man's heart fail. Your servant will go fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, brother, are you out of your mind? You are not able to fight the Philistine. You are only a kid, and he has been a man since he was a kid. How are you a man since you were a kid? I'm going to tell you, you're responsible. I'm having a grandson in May. His name is going to be Miles, and he's going to pastor this church. I got it all figured out. Told my son and my daughter-in-law, just leave him with me. I'll give him back to you after he graduates high school. I'm going to train this little brother. He's going to be in Spanish immersion from day one. And I'm starting to think about all the things that I want to teach him from when he's little, that now that I have 3 grown kids, I'm going to get all these little things my wife and I, we talked about having a parenting class for all the new parents to teach them these things that we've learned. Amen. Amen. You can teach it from when they're little, so it's no big deal. And one of those things is talking to adults and looking them in the eye. Simple. Because you know kids, hi. If you can get a little kid to walk up and talk to anybody, how you doing, sir? How you da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it's 5. Like just in your grill. I went to lunch, breakfast. Well, actually, I had just eaten breakfast. I was walking out of a restaurant and saw some friends yesterday, and they had a 15-year-old daughter, and she was like that. She was just like this. And I said, I like that girl. She's just like, right, like an adult, just engaged, conversation, articulate. I'm like, when I was a little kid, I used to ask my father to dare me to do stuff all the time. Dad, dare me to do something. Dare me. We had a boat. Dare me to jump out the boat. He said, okay, jump. I jumped out the boat. And as soon as I hit the water, the current took me away from the boat. And he panicked. Like, he thought, uh-oh, like, he's going to drown. Because I was like, but I swam so fast to get, because I thought I was going to, I was like, as soon as I hit the water, my heart went in my throat because the current just whoosh, swept me away. And I got back. So one time my father told me, I don't know if I should say, well, he's passed away now, so it probably doesn't matter. He told me, we're in the airport, and he said, go up and tell that lady she has nice legs. She had a skirt on. I don't know why I remember that. You know, some things stick in your head as a little kid. I'm not going to teach my grandson that, but I'm going to say, look, I want you to go up and I want you to talk to people. By the time he's 10, pray for people when you're a kid. Read the Bible. Talk to people and look them in the eye. Make sure you remember people's names. Blah, 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 all these little things. He says Goliath was a man of war since he was little. Since when he was little, he learned how to fight. Since he was little. So David, how are you going to get him? Giant killers know when to grow up. Look what David says. David said to Saul, you are not able to fight. Verse 34, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I said, what, are you out of your mind, lion? And I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Everyone say used to. Everyone say used to. Everyone say, used to. Here's what David said. David said, King, back in the day, when I used to keep my father's sheep, that brother was keeping sheep that day. Some of y'all are getting this, some of you are not. Let me rewind the tape. That day, he said, okay, sheep, I'll be right back. And he goes to the war. He hears the talking trash, and he said, the king wants to see you. He's got sheep fuzz all over his body from that day. And he goes, King, back in the day when I used to keep sheep. King, I'm not a shepherd boy anymore. I'm a giant killer. As of right now. As of right now. Some of y'all need to grow up. You need to go from being a spectator to a participant. Stop just coming to church every now and then. Stop coming to church without your Bible. Learn where the books in the Bible are. 1 Samuel, okay, let me go to the table of contents. Boom, boom, boom. Is that Old Testament, New Testament? Is it right around Revelation? Is it after Revelation? No, Revelation is the last book in the Bible. Okay. Some of you took the tithe challenge last week. Give. Fantastic. God's going to bless you. And God's already blessed some of you since last week because we're getting emails. Can I get amen? Amen? Amen. Stop watching people serve and serve. Stop watching people talk about God and talk about God. Stop watching people raise their hand and let go. It's time to grow up. I used to do that. Yeah, I used to be scared. I used to not have faith. I used to not be consistent. I used to not serve. End that. Today, you don't have to be that anymore. You don't. Just make that decision. I am not going to be that guy anymore. Or I'm not going to change. Therefore, Goliath will always whoop your butt. And you will wear, I tell you, I'm not a counselor. I mean, I have wisdom, so I do give people advice, but I don't sit in a room and counsel people. And God has not called me to that. Therefore, God has not given me the patience for it. Let me preface it. God has not called me. Therefore, God has not given me the patience. Okay, he's called me to be an evangelist, challenge people, jam people up, because that's more my personality. Hey, get saved, you know. Instead of, oh, yeah, I know this is our 20th meeting, and so I'll just pray for it. No, it's been 20 minutes. You ain't changed yet? I'm not a counselor. I do good one time. That's about it. I'm a one-time guy. If it ain't fixed, you know. But some people, and believe, trust me, I know change takes time. Some people need time. And there are people who are gifted to that. It's just not me. But other people milk it. They have no intention of changing. They just want to wear you out. They want pity party day and night. And I'm the worst guy for that because I'm like, no, no, we've had this conversation before. Now, go get counseling. You should go get counseling. But there are some people, I say some people, they have no intention of changing. They just want to wear you out. Stop being that person. Say, God, I'm ready to move on. I mean, in general, but thank you for repeating me. That's right. Okay, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Verse 36. Oh, giant killers give God the credit. Woo! Verse 36. The servant, your servant, David, has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. And Saul said, the Lord be with you, because I certainly will not be with you. Here's what he said. The Lord delivered me from the paw of a lion. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear. God got me through before. He will get me through now. How many of you can honestly say God got you through something? Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to bet you, and I'm a guess, but my opinion is going to be really good on this one, even though my opinion don't mean anything. I'm going to bet you God has gotten you through a bunch of stuff that you never even asked him to get you through. You were struggling, and God, and you might have even cried out to God, but not for reals. And what I mean by that, oh, God, help me, but you didn't want to do your own thing. He said, you didn't mean that. I'm going to help you anyway, because you're just so pitiful. How many of you ever tried to hold your water under breath? You... Did y'all get that? I'm like, how come no one raised their hand? I was like, you guys never held your water under breath? And then you laughed. I'm like, what is she laughing at like that? How many of you ever tried? Some of y'all still haven't gotten it. How many of you ever tried to hold your breath under water? Okay, there we go. There we go. When you hold your breath underwater, here's what God's doing. Are they serious? They're going to die. And you're in the water going. And you have in your brain stem, this is actual biology, in your brain stem, there are certain functions that your brain stem controls in your body that you cannot consciously control. Your subconscious, your brain stem controls it involuntarily. Your breathing, your heart rate, your perspiration, your ability to blink, go to the bathroom. These things you cannot stop if you try. Because God knows that if he let you have control over those things, you would kill yourself. This is a fact. So when you go in the water, God's like, the hang on last, but you know, a minute, maybe. And you're in the water. God saves you even when you don't even ask. But there are some times when God has saved you because you cried out to him. And if God saved you then over and over and over again, he'll save you again. Now, it doesn't mean you do whatever and he'll save you, because he may save you through sending you through a lot of pain. But if you cry out to him, he will always get you through. Always get you through. David says, God saved me from the lion. God saved me from the bear. No different. If God saved you, and by the way, I would bet you that you have forgotten most of what God done in your life. And that's a problem. In the Old Testament, whenever God would do an amazing thing, they would put up stones of remembrance so they wouldn't forget. Say, Daddy, what is that stone for? Oh, that's when God parted the Red Sea. Why do we take Passover? Because that's when God delivered us from Egypt and got us out. Every year they take Passover to remember what God has done. By miracles. It's very important for you to remember. So when you have another giant, you go, oh, I've been there. I've been there. I got a little file on my computer called Heart and Throat. And it's when my heart was in my throat because I was scared of something. And I write down what happened. So I remember. Oh, I remember that pain so bad. I was so scared. Look what it says in verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, would put on a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail, which was like a jacket, all this metal. And David fastened the sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. So Saul said, David, here's the armor you need. A helmet, a coat of mail, this big metal jacket. You need a sword, a shield, a sword. And David put it on. He's like, clank, clank, clank. It's too heavy. And he took it all off. He said, I can't do this your way. I can't do it your way. And look what he did. This is my man. Look what he did. Verse 40. He took the staff in his hand, a stick. He chose 5 smooth stones from the brook, 5 rocks, put it in a shepherd's bag. He's still a shepherd. He got a shepherd's bag. And his sling and his Jesus is my homeboy t-shirt. And he drew in a Philistine. So he's got his rocks, his stick, and his sling. And I bet you that he was walking towards Goliath like this. What's up? What's up? Let's go. Okay? Now, this is where trash talking started right here in this story. This is the baddest trash talking you have never heard anybody talk trash like this. Richard Sherman ain't got nothing on these brothers right here. Verse 41, Philistine came drawing near David, and the man who bore his shield, Goliath had a guy who took his shield in front of him. And when the Philistine looked about, he saw it, he disdained David, for he was a youth, ruddy, good looking. Verse 43, the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. The animals are going to eat you. You ever say that to somebody? Yo, your breath stank. Animals gonna eat you. David said to the Philistine, verse 45, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, your mama's head, your brother's head. And this day I will give the carcasses of the whole army of the Philistines to the bird of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth shall know there's a God in Israel. Oh, yes. You're going down, Goliath. You're going down. The birds are going to eat you. All them boys up there, they're going to get eaten by the birds. And look what it says. Oh, I love this. Verse 47, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. God is not going to save you by your money. He ain't going to save you by your hair or your wiggle or your jiggle. He's not going to save you by a house. He's going to save you by his hand. So don't think any of those things is what you need. You need God. If you ever say to yourself, I only need this, and it's not God, you're wrong. Because God can save you, and he don't need any of that. I talk to pastors all the time. Oh, if I only had a building like you, I could grow my church. Hold up. We didn't have a building for 7 years. Matter of fact, we moved 33 times in 5 years. So you don't need a building. You need what God has for you. Just in case you didn't know, our first 5 years of our existence, we were at San Diego State. We moved 33 times in those 5 years. We didn't have the building for 52 weeks ever in the first 5 years. We had to move out, hotels, outside, in the rain, whatever, and God grew us. Anyway, God don't need that. He can do anything he wants to do. He can do anything he wants to do. We would be gone 3 weeks in a row, come back for 1 week, and be gone another week. We say, look, if you're not here the next 3 weeks and you come, we're not here, the rapture didn't happen. We're over at the hotel. That's all. For reals, I'm telling you the truth. And then, so look what it says. It says, verse 48, so it was when the Philistine rose and came and drew near David that David ran. Anyone say ran? Say ran. To me, he's like, David's like this. Oh, I got my rock, my stick, and he ran. Now, I don't know if y'all remember Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield fight. Mike Tyson, y'all know who Mike Tyson is? You know who Evander Holyfield is? Heavyweight champ. And when they came to get the instructions before the fight in the middle of the ring, right before the first round, they're face-to-face. Mike Tyson's mad dogging him. Evander Holyfield, who can only smile off one side of his face. Something's wrong on one side. Not really. I'm just making this up. But he does only smile on one side of his face. He smiles like this. This side don't smile. And he's like, and he's looking at Mike Tyson like, I got a secret. And he did. He had a secret and he beat him. That's the fight that Mike Tyson bit his ear because he was so frustrated. He literally chunked his ear out. So right before the fight, they're getting instructions, and Evander's just like, who smiles before a fight? Evander. He goes back to his corner, and they get ready to hit the bell for the first round. Evander is like this. He's like this. I cannot wait to whoop your hiney. And the bing, and he runs to the middle of the ring. Like, let's go. I cannot wait. David said, oh, I cannot wait. He got his stone, and he ran. Let's read it. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag, took out the stone, and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone stank in his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. David's running saying, I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air. And he's running and he's, wah, 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 wah. And all the people on the hill are watching that rock. Thinking, that brother better not miss. He's only got the Jesus My Homeboy t-shirt on. And the rock, bam! And he falls over dead. Booyah. Booyah. Verse 50. David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, K-I-L-T, but there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore, David ran and took the sword from the Philistine and cut off his head. Walked in town with his head. Bye. Mediocre. Three people got it. That's your champion? That's your champion? This is the head of your Goliath. You trust God, he will cut off the head. You do it yourself, he will cut your head off. So you have to decide, Lord, I am going to trust you. I'm going to surrender my Goliath to you. And I am going to surrender my fear, my doubt, my lack of faith, my burden, my darkness, my confusion. I'm surrendering that to you. And I'm going to face my Goliath, and you are going to fight my Goliath, and you're going to guide and direct me. There's no doubt to me that God guided that stone. He had to. One day, Jesus and Moses were going to play golf. For real, true story. And right before they teed off in the first tee, this old man comes with a cane. And he goes, can I play? And Jesus and Moses, they figure, you know, they hardly get time alone just to hang out. They were like, oh, man. All right, we'll play. So Moses goes first. He hits the ball, and it goes in the water. Moses walks over to the water. He puts his 9-iron up in the air, and the water parts, and he walks down to the dry pond. Hits the ball 3 feet from the hole. Jesus hits the ball, goes in the water. He walks on top of the water. The water comes up to the top. He hits it 2 feet from the hole. Old man comes up with one cane and one stick. He hits the ball, goes in the water. But as it goes in the water, a fish grabs the ball sinking in the pond, brings it to the top. An eagle comes down, grabs the fish, flies over the hole. The fish opens his mouth, and the ball falls right in the hole. And Jesus and Moses look at each other and say, did you see that? Mo, did you see that? And Jesus looks at the old man and says, good shot, Dad. David threw that rock, and God said, I got you. Right in his head. You want to pray, God, I can't handle that. I cannot handle that problem. I surrender it to you. That's how it works. Show me the way. What do you want me to do? What do you want me not to do? What do you want me to say? Let's all bow our heads and pray. I want you to listen very carefully. Bow your heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we all are faced with Goliath problems all the time. They seem to never stop coming. But we have to remember that you are bigger than Goliath. You are more powerful. You are Almighty God. And you have to be the hero in our story. If you have a Goliath problem that you need to deal with, you need to surrender to God your lack of faith or your burden or your weariness or your discouragement or your lack of hope, your hopelessness. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to pray this prayer. You could be like David, that you could face your giant with five rocks. You can face your giant with a little prayer, a little faith, trusting that God will take care of everything. You're going to face your giant knowing that you're going to do what God tells you to do. So eyes closed, heads bowed, you know what your giant is. It's a tough conversation you need to have with somebody. And you're going to trust God with the result. In the privacy of your heart, whatever your giant is, I want you to pray this prayer with me if you want to fight it like David and you want to surrender it to God. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, give me the faith to face my giant. I surrender my doubt to you. I surrender my pain to you. I surrender my burden to you. I surrender my lack of faith to you. I want to face my giant. But I'm going to trust you will save the day. And I'm going to do it your way. Grant me faith, courage, patience, vision, and trust to face my giant. Thank you, God. Eyes closed, heads bowed, whatever campus you're in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. And by standing, you are acknowledging, yes, I am surrendering my giant. I am ready to face my Goliath, knowing that God is fighting my battle. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge God in your life. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We see you all over the room. We see you in the balcony. God bless you.